sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Épisode Un set def. My own best friend. Okay, bear with me as I adjust the volume. Me, myself, and I. That's all I got in the end. That's what I found out. And ain't no need to cry. I took a vow that from now on, I'm going to be my own best friend.
Message!
Me, myself, and I, that's all I got in the end. That's what I found out. And ain't no need to cry. I took a vow that from now on, I'm going to be my own best friend.
Message!
All right. Hey, welcome. Just a sec, boys and girls. Okay. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lenoir, and aka The Preacher Child, Fils Pasteur. Yeah. Before I continue with today's episode, I need to give a heads up to you, new listeners. This podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, which means it's protected by the red, the black, and the green in collaboration with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question,
Are you an outcast?
I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on June 9th, 2024. Let me repeat that. On Sunday, June 9th, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. Yeah, all right, les amis. Okay, let's get the show going. It's kind of late. I'll explain my little excitement. For you new listeners, a little bit of hand holding on my part. I like to break down my episodes into three parts, which I call acts. The first act is the intro. The second act is news and random thought. And the final act is final thoughts. Now, so far in the first act, what you've heard is the theme of the podcast, followed by the title of today's episode, 179, My Own Best Friend. After that is some poetry, which both poetry and the title will complement the final thoughts. The last act, reminder, right? And everything after that was a greeting and salutation and kind of being more specific, just trying to give you an idea of the kind of show, the kind of journey you've embarked on. All right? Yeah. Okay. And another thing I like to do in the intro, after all that, is share some, things that have come up this week. For example, I want to say in memory of Breonna Taylor, June 5th, 1993 was her birthday. And just taking time to remember her. Final thing I like to do in the intro is, wow, hold on. You know, I just don't, I sigh a lot. Okay, I'm not sure if, part of being from Ottawa is being very self-critical. I noticed that. Okay, maybe not everyone in Ottawa, but I noticed that a lot of the people that I know, very self-critical. You'll just pick up on these things. But anyway, where was I? What was I saying? It's, I was in the middle of saying, oh yeah, intro. Nothing we like to do, I like to do on the intro is share a quote. And today's quote goes, you were born to be real, not to be perfect. Let that shit marinate. Let me repeat that. You were born to be real, not to be perfect. Now I want to be clear that I'm not preaching this one. I'm more reciting it for myself. With that said, this concludes today's the intro. And let's follow up with news and random thoughts. All right, boys and girls, you ready? All right, let's go. Okay, the excitement is, right, okay, if you've been listening to last episode, no, the excitement is not the interview. I'll talk to you about that in the final thought. The excitement is this clear disc. What happens is I made some changes to my recording studio, so to speak. Recording studio / office, and I've also reconfigured my new arrangements where I'm no longer using that piece of shit computer for my sound. You know, it doesn't matter. You guys can't tell. What matters is, especially if you're on my Instagram, is I've cleaned up my desk, and if you look at the picture, it's like a clear desk. And yes, I know they do say. Oh, I mean, I've heard that. The clear desk is the sign of insanity, but it's also the thing about a clear desk for me. It's also if you're a creative person, well, it feel like it encourages. It's like, okay, B, what do we want to create today? That's the desk talking to me, and referring to us in the first person plural. It doesn't matter. Anyways, I'm gonna talk some more about this clear desk and how we got here. But just say that if you notice a little I was gonna say jipper, a little excitement or a twinge in my voice, that's probably why. Oh, I want to send a shout out to my cousin from TDOT, even though I don't like the city of Toronto. That's another story. That's not the point. But cousin from Toronto came down to visit, and we hung out. And, yeah, man, hanging out with them reminded me of a time where I hated people less. That's what's up. Nah, you know, I rarely go out. And, anyways, I just, no big deal, but just we hung out. And we caught up on shit. And, yeah, doing well for himself. That's it. So shout out to him. It's just me, like, bantering here. Bantering? Banter. I don't know. It's long anglais. All right. Let's go through the agenda. I think the sigh is either because of my weight or, but it's not, I'm not depressed. I'm just, it's like, I'm just trying to get some air in here. All right. What else? Oh, right. Okay. So let's go through the agenda. First one here. Let me clear things out the way. Yeah. Okay. I forgot to put this in the agenda. So remember... Oh, no, it is here. It's just my shit is out of order. Okay. Bear with me, friends. And, yeah, okay. First thing on the agenda. There's a picture this week of 50 Cent. Oh, shit, he posted it himself. What a guy. Oh, no shame, no shame. I say, so it's, Toronto Police is trending. Well, I'm not going to click on that because I'm in the middle of a show. Lauren Boebert is, do you know who Lauren Boebert is? Think of the dumbest person. Think of the most unqualified person to be in politics in the United States. The Beetlejuice. She's the, whatever, wacko congresswoman. And 50 Cent, I guess, was in, I knew it said Parliament, was in the White House or whatever. And he's posing up, he's taking up, it's a picture of him and her holding arms, and the caption goes, Lauren Boebert, Colorado Republican, making the White House look good. And the person who shared this on my timeline shared this MLK quote. He goes, excuse me, that was disgusting. Oh, my apologies. He goes, there are Negroes who will never fight for freedom. There are Negroes who seek profit for themselves alone from the struggles. There are even some Negroes who will go over to the other side. These facts should distress no one. Even minority and every people has its share of opportunists, traitors, freeloaders, and escapists, MLK. Two thoughts that come to mind is the first one is when I saw this, I was trying to communicate the quote. It's like, but 50 has always been like that. You know what I mean? He's always been an opportunist. He's always been about that money. He's always been, he's never been about the people. He's another one of those black people, black folks who I'm conveniently black. Like when I need your help, yeah, I'm talking on black shit. If you need my help, first let me figure out if I can make a dollar off of it. Nothing about 50 says I'm all about service to you. You know, I'm going for, man, my point is, I just think about how I used to listen to a lot of rap songs, and 50 especially, who talked about selling, like, I glorified selling drugs. it wasn't like, let's say, the Jay-Z's of the world. It's like there was a poetry to it. This dude is, yo, if being conscious was in, he'd be rapping about being conscious. But what I'm saying is, when I think of 50, I think of how we, as the hip-hop fans, hip-hop consumers, tolerated rap fans talking about selling drugs to the community. Like empowering themselves while, like, you know, full capitalists, empowering themselves, selling this shit, selling this poison to our people while enriching their pockets. And here he is now. It's like, okay, here he is now posing with Boebert. I guess that's his new gimmick. Yeah, his new gimmick. Yeah. Anyways, and to everyone who says, well, you know, look, you know, he doesn't have to be on that black shit. Who are confused by some of us calling them, you know, all kinds of words like coon, Uncle Ruckus, and all that kind of shit. The thing is, black people all over, we've always had, at least most of us were born with a certain sense of solidarity, sense of we're responsible for each other. I mean, look, I'm not going to pay your rent, but there's a certain sense of we got to look out for each other because this cold world ain't looking out for us. And I was thinking of a story that I read by Frederick Douglass. He wrote this, but he was sharing this story about how when he moved to New York, you know, after he frees himself and everything. Anyways, he ends up being in New York, and I'm gonna paraphrase this story, but the way I remember it, but the main idea is I remember the core idea. The details might be a little off, but the point is he was at a church. And he heard the story of this dude, black dude, was talking about how he had beef with this other black guy. And he was at the level of, he even threatened him to the level of reporting him to the authorities. Because the black dude he had beef with was a free slave. And I guess he escaped slavery from one of those, I guess, southern states. One of those states where slavery was legal. And the thing is, all he had to do was one phone call. Granted, they didn't have no phone back then. But the story is, he threatened them with reporting him, saying, hey, here's a free slave. This dude is an escaped slave. And apparently this was in a church. And apparently the next day, you know, word got around and they kicked the shit out of him. When they found the guy and they kicked the shit out of him. Not the escaped slave, the dude who made the threat. And the idea is you don't fuck around with that kind of shit. We're in this together. You don't side with the slave masters. Do you know what I mean? And all this to say, this is me trying to explain, I don't know why, but explain to white people or people who don't get it, why this picture disturbs some of us. Here's the thing. 50 is in the category of black people who I believe their only reason for hating slavery was just the fact that they couldn't partake in it. If they were allowed to be slave owners, then they would have been like, you know what? No. Fuck you, Lincoln. Keep this slave shit going. They would have fought with the South. Yeah. I'm not going to say fuck 50 only because he's always been like that. I never liked 50 for anything. The few tracks that I did enjoy. But he was never... I don't know. He's just a dude doing his thing, man. That's it. I guess it comes down to how do you value life, what you value out of life. Because the shit that I'm saying, I can see this being an argument in a barbershop, and the folks who are all about, you know, I'm trying to get rich in this motherfucker. I'm trying to be ambitious. I'm trying to imitate my favorite rich capitalist. Well, they envy 50. Mr. What's it? 40 laws of power? Is that what it was? Sorry. I just love the fact that I have my keyboard in front of me. 40 laws of 40 laws of power. Every once in a while, I surprise myself that I remember shit. Anyway, 50 Cent is like an advocate of that kind of like thinking. Anyways, yeah, I'm fighting the urge to not say fuck 50, but you know. All I can say is, yeah, he's beat. Hold on a second. I'm just reading the first someone wrote. 50 was there to talk about equal financial opportunities for black entrepreneurs. Yeah, the black folks who encourage him, because they're like, yeah, man, I'm trying to get my money like him by any means necessary. And yeah. You know, I was just. See, I grew up with this notion of living your life in service to others, to humanity. And I credit my Christian upbringing. At least that's probably was one of my takeaways. Okay, hold on. I want to be clear. I'm an ex-Christian. I'm saying the few things that I hold on to is this idea of life in service. It's always been a part of me. I honestly thought that's what everyone believed in. And I remember I was talking to this woman. We were having this conversation, this attractive waitress. The fact that she's attractive plays into the story. And we were, it was me and a friend of mine. And you know, he has this habit of flirting with the waitress or trying to engage him in conversation. And she had a lot. She had some time. And I remember my friend just asked a random question. Goes, what one word would you use to describe yourself? And I think she said grace or something along, not grace or, I can't, think of a flower, a beautiful flower, right? And the word you would use to, one word you would use to be, something about beauty or something like that. It might have been grace, it might have been beauty, it might have been, like life to her was, here's where I'm going with this. I said service, she said great. And I remember I felt like we both had a moment where we were judging each other. Cause I was like, oh, aren't you arrogant? Aren't you shallow? Aren't you my first thought? I remember and she looked at me and she goes, I bet you get played a lot. Aren't you like I took it as she was saying, like, yeah, I bet you're a doormat. And the point of this story is not how we were judging each other. The point of the story was like at the time, I didn't get it. Now that I see it, it's just the idea that all of us, we're on this earth, and I truly believe we all want the same thing, which is some kind of inner peace. How we go about that inner peace is what makes us different. So I remember when she said grace, beauty, or whatever, that was her quest to inner peace. Now, 50... Yeah, I guess, you know, I bring up 50, but I just, my point is I'm holding back. I'm saying fuck 50, even though I don't like the dude, even though I don't, whatever. I'm accepting the fact that that's his journey. That's his quest. I don't like it, but it's his volition. I can't control that. I'm letting go and resisting the urge to say fuck 50. All right. Let's go. Um, Yeah. What I will say is, damn, homie, in high school, you were the same, homie. The fuck happened to you? All right. Okay. Remember that story I shared last week on the last episode? Granted, okay. I need to stop doing that because I'm going to stop assuming that you listen to this podcast episode per episode. I like to talk to people like this is the first time listening to the podcast. I'm going to do that until that's going to be my mindset. This is you just discovered this podcast. If you're returning listeners, I'm grateful for you. But just for the sake of conversation, to unconfuse things, I guess I'm saying listening to past episode is not a prerequisite. With that said, on the last episode, I talked about a story that's I'm sure it's still going viral or probably it's slowing down of the Matt Eddy. Who the fuck is Matt Eddy? He is the white man who accosted the superintendent, Rainey Briggs. Is that his name? Let me make sure. The superintendent, Rainey Briggs. What happens when I do a search for this man? Yep, Rainey Briggs. Wisconsin dad tells cops why he stopped this. Oh, shit. Okay, there's more details on it. Okay, breaking news. Okay, before I get to that, Kenny Akers is someone I follow on Twitter, and he shared this video, and the caption goes, on May 31st, 2024, the video captured a man identified as Matt Eddy interrupting Superintendent Rainey Briggs as he attempted to shake hands with a graduating student on stage. Eddy can be heard in the video saying, that's my daughter, and expressing to the other staff members in different moments, I don't want him touching her. As also testified to the police when they arrived on the scene and apprehended Eddy for disorderly conduct. Okay, what I'm going to play now is, on the last episode, it was fresh news. And what did I talk about? Yeah, white folks being crazy racist white people. But this clip I'm going to play, which is, again, in the show notes, I'm going to play the sound. And I think it adds more details to the sound, okay? And to the story. And here we go. Hold on. Bear with me.
Oh, excuse me. Where's Brandon?
Get away from me, bro.
Okay, I'm gonna stop it here. All right, okay. The key word, what I wanted, I hope you noticed where he says, get off of me, bro. And in the last episode, I commented on how, well, I'm doing it now again, how the focus, a lot of people were assuming that if you watch the video, there's a girl who, graduating, one of the graduates, and she looks flustered, and the assumption is that that's her daughter. Oh, right, okay. And the thing is, she looked embarrassed, and the focus has been on her, and I brought up how, well, what about the guy? What about the superintendent? And him saying, get your hands off me, bro. He's in a flight or fight mode. He's like, bro, I'm at work right now. But if it wasn't for these cameras, I'd fuck you up. My point is, the poor guy was going through some kind of distress. I'm sure being accosted by this white man did not make his day. Anyways, let me see. Okay, so let's say apparently he's got a reason. Revealed. My money says, he goes, I'm not being racist. But let's see what it says. Okay, because this is brand fresh news. Okay, we're going to go with the Independent. All right, let's go with the Independent. Bear with me here. I'm going off script at the moment. Okay, all right, here we go. Where is my player? Here we go. Read out loud.
Wisconsin dad tells cops why he pushed superintendent off stage so he couldn't shake daughter.
Okay, first of all, we're going to fucking change that fucking voice. Hold on a second. Yeah, we're doing that again. Piper's voice. Yeah. Give me some. Oh, this is experimental voices? Okay, let's see. Amy Lowe. See how that goes. Playback cancel. Just hoping it works.
Read Aloud is a Chrome and Firefox extension that uses text-to-speech technology to convert webpage text to audio. It works on a variety of websites, including news sites, blogs, fan fiction, publications, textbooks, school and course materials.
Thank you. All right, okay, let's see how this goes.
Wisconsin dad tells cops why he pushed superintendent off stage so he couldn't shake daughter's hand.
Break it down.
The same high school made headlines in 2018 when a group of students performed the Nazi salute in a photo.
Oh, wow.
8-year-old Israeli.
Oops, no, okay, let's go. Oh, God damn it. Bear with me.
Irish girl feared dead may sell.
Sorry. Where is it? A new police. There we go. Jesus Christ. Now, you're embarrassing me, AI.
A new police report details a white father's explanation to cops for why he shoved a black school superintendent off a Wisconsin graduation stage to stop him from shaking his graduating daughter's hand.
It is his daughter.
The scandal began on May 31 when Matthew Eddy walked onto the stage at Baraboo High School's graduation as his daughter was shaking hands with school officials.
Right.
As she approached Superintendent Rainey Briggs, who is black, the father jumped on stage, grabbed the superintendent by his arm, and dragged him away from his daughter. Viral video of the incident shows, he put both of his hands on me to push me out of the way, stating, "You are not going to touch my expletive daughter," Briggs told police. At that time, I created space and stated, "Get your hands off me."
Right.
Now, Eddy has been charged with disorderly conduct and Briggs has filed a restraining order against the man.
Okay.
The police report, obtained by local outlet WMTV 5 News, says Eddy told officers he had past issues with Rainey and dislikes him.
Mm.
Eddy told police he wanted to prevent Rainey from having the satisfaction of shaking his daughter's hand, so he went onto the stage to prevent that from happening.
That's kind
of
fucked up, dude.
An unnamed father of Agra. Oh,
sorry, okay. And then officers?
Officers said the push was pre-planned and that the father was sorry for the incident, but only because of the impact it had on his graduating daughter.
That's a bullshit.
We would like to emphasize that the safety and well-being of our students, staff, and community members is a top priority.
Okay, I'm going to jump to a top priority, yada, yada. Okay, I'm going to jump to the part where he says, because I'm assuming he says, I'm not racist. I got no problems against niggers, just this particular nigger. Okay. No employee schools, the safety, blah, 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 okay. Okay, the police. So does he deny racism? The police report does not include evidence the incident was racially motivated. Of course not. But David Hart, president of Black for Political Science and Action of Dane County, told WMTV 5 he is concerned about how Briggs was treated. After Dr. Briggs, Dr. Briggs, was pushed out of the way and prevented from doing his job, it does not appear that anyone checked on Dr. Briggs' welfare. And he was forced to continue amid this trauma, right? Hart told the outlet, while the incident could certainly have race-neutral explanation, because, you know, white people, that's how they do, the treatment of Dr. Briggs looks all familiar to us, looks all too familiar to us. Community members share similar concern. Members, pluriel. Excuse me. This is absolutely wild that this isn't already being called out for the outright racism that it is. One of the user commented on Facebook earlier this week. I know there are criticism, Dr. Brick. You know what? Doesn't matter. Fuck this dude. Okay. So apparently the school is a racist place, and I'm sure he's going to go on some tour about, you know, how he's not racist, how some of his favorite football players are black. So, and all that kind of, how could I be racist against anyone? It's impossible. Anyway, yeah. That's what I'm expecting. What was my other point I was going to make? Fuck, I forgot. But okay. You know, I'm not going to focus too much on this story. Initially I just wanted you guys to hear the sound of Dr. Rainey Briggs, Superintendent Rainey Briggs, say, "Get your hands off me." Yeah, My point is, yeah, I don't think he enjoyed that moment, man.
I've been single my entire life.
Sorry. Okay, sorry. I forgot to hit pause on these things. All right, okay. Yeah, that's what I wanted to focus on. Okay, last part for user random thought. And this is definitely a random thought. It might be a final thought. I am going to play... This clip had me thinking. It still has me thinking. And it's a woman. Her name is on a content creator on TikTok. Name goes by the name Mad MNC. And she's going to talk about her own personal loneliness. And I guess what fascinates me is, you know what? I'm just going to play it and then try to gather my thoughts. Because this is the second time that I'm going to play it for myself. And I'm just going to play it. Here we go.
I've been single my entire life. I'm going to be turning 42 in August. And I've never had anybody love me or desire me or want to be with me. And I have so much love that I feel like that is inside of me with nowhere to go because it can't transfer to friends or my family or my parents because it's something separate. It's something different. And I've gathered all of this love since I was in high school. And then it just sits there and it eats me alive sometimes. And I'm bringing this up. Oh my gosh. I just slammed my hand off of that. Sorry. I'm bringing this up because I'm lonely and sad and the world is hard and horrible. And I was thinking this morning that like no one's laid next to me in bed. I've never had the comfort of someone's arms around me. When I've had difficult moments, I've gotten through them by myself most of the time. Now I have a beautiful family of brothers and my mother and my dad when he was alive, and I love them. I'm grateful for them. But there's something different about having somebody that's there for you, next to you, with you, and it's a different kind of loneliness if you've been single all of your life. And I know that there are people who get this. There are people who follow me that get this. But I was thinking about it in terms of just bigger worldly issues as well. The fear of the world and the difficulties that we are seeing. And again, this is minuscule on the level of what some people are facing. But it doesn't mean that it's nothing. And I have to figure out how to deal with these feelings. But the idea that... like, I don't go home and somebody's there to talk with and cook dinner with. And I have a roommate, but we do our own things. We have our own lives. And again, it's not the same. It's not the same. And I'm always told sometimes as a single person that it's not easier on the other side. And so I guess I just wanted to say to people who get this feeling that you're not alone. And I know that it's difficult, but I also know that there's a certain type of strength that has been developed that I have because of my experiences in my life that has led me to be able to do difficult things. And it's difficult being alone. And it's okay to feel lonely. And it's okay for it to feel hard and scary. So just know that you're not alone. And know that I see you. And I'm there with you. And I'm still seeking to find ways to make it easier for myself. And I really, really do wish to make it easier for others. So if you're lonely, know that I'm sorry. And know that I'm sitting in the lonely with you. I hope you have a good day, everybody.
All right, I'm going to... Hold on. Let me... Okay. All right, I'm going to try to be mature about this one. Because my instinct is to make jokes, but... no, but it's because mature in a sense that... I'm going to start... I was going to say positive, negative, but that's not true. I guess I'm going to say where I agree with her is not to say that it's this is her thought, this is her feelings. She made me think, and I guess what I'm going to express is my difference in perspective. Again, not a right or wrong thing. It's more of a wow. One is I didn't realize we talked about this kind of stuff. I didn't think we could talk about this stuff. So I do appreciate her message ending with, you're not alone in your loneliness. There's a lot of us out there, man. There's, I say a lot of us. I mean, in this world, there's, yeah. And when I say lonely, I don't mean the, not necessarily negative, but the I'm lonely, I'm like one sad song away from jumping off a bridge. I don't mean that lonely. I mean that it's a thing. It's we go through this. It's like, you know, I'm cold, you're hot, you're hungry. It's a state. I'm just saying it's a state for what it is, right? And there's a lot of us on this planet who feel that. Just because you're lonely doesn't mean you're looking. That kind of loneliness. Now, she's treating loneliness as a pain. I guess this is where we diverge. From the way I'm hearing her, it's like to her, loneliness is a pain. To me, I never looked at it as a pain. I looked at it as, shit, I don't think I really want to go that deep on this one. I'll be honest with you, right? First time I heard this clip, it bothered me. And I wasn't sure why. Maybe, I remember my first instinct was, oh, poor you. You know, it bothered me and I had to do some thinking. And I think the closest I could get to an explanation, it's more, well, the first one is, I always thought loneliness was like Fight Club. We don't talk about it. We don't talk. I'm applauding this woman for being out there, putting herself out there, making herself vulnerable, and talking about, like, I believe these are raw emotion. This is not acting. If it is, it's some fucking, oh, that shit would be depressing. The things I'm trying to say is shit that I was trying to put in the comment section, but it wouldn't fit in 150 characters. Maybe it will once I can flesh out this idea. So what I'm saying is, I'm fascinated at her speaking about loneliness like that. And as for me, I've always treated loneliness as, it's like, I think I've convinced myself that, dude, it's a lot worse. There's a lot worse than loneliness. That's the idea that I stick to. So I don't mind loneliness because what I've told myself is, it's not just told myself, is I love solitude. I love being with myself. Oh my God, dealing with myself. Yesterday I was in a comedy club, and I'll explain again in the final thoughts. And the energy wasn't strong. Let's just admit it, right? It wasn't like the greatest moment. Usually when you're in a comedy club, you're enjoying yourself. You're laughing, drinking, whatever. You're with friends and shit like that. And the time just goes by. In this particular situation, there wasn't a lot of people in the club. And I guess I was just there mainly to support a friend doing a show. But I remember feeling like, fuck, I don't believe I'm trading moments of solitude for this shit. Like, I'm realize how much I enjoy my moments of solitude. Like, I'm in the category of people who, in order for me to get me back into dating, not that I'm saying that there's my doors being knocked down by women who want me back in dating. No. But more if I wish I could communicate this to my parents who wish that they had a step granddaughter. Is it step? Yeah, granddaughter. They wish that I was married. They wish I had kids. And I've never been able to explain. I said, look, man, I'm at the point in my life that the only fucking way I would even consider being in a relationship is if I could get myself, if I believed that this person would bring more to my life that my solitude is currently bringing me. Let me wrap this up. I'm saying it's not the fact that you're lonely that's the issue. I'm not talking to her. I mean, to everyone listening to this podcast. I think it's how you react, how you respond to that loneliness that determines whether it's an issue or not. For her, I respect, salute this woman for sharing her thoughts, making herself kind of like, I wish I could get that level of deepness. Like, appreciated what she did. To me, that sounded like an SOS. Not come and save me, but more like, hey, anyone out there, SOS, anyone else is out there. Anyone else shares my thought. I'm like, I have to write back. I have to say something and say, like, I appreciate your thoughts for sharing that. And I'm contrasting it to my notion, because I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, that's not how you handle, that's not how you go for loneliness. But if that works for you, go be it. But here's the thing. I guess what I'm really wondering, and I get the feeling this is something my therapist, well, I mean, has already thought of, whether my way of handling dealing with loneliness is healthier than hers. Not my therapist, but the Madam MNC? Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? I'm convinced the way I'm going about it is very healthy. For her, what she said, there's a part where she says that she's got family, but she's got love to give that I could cook with. I'm like, fuck that. Like, okay, I just hit it. Okay, you know, I was about to lie to you. I was about to say, I can't think of an activity that's more enjoyable with someone else. And then it hit me. Yes, traveling would have been one. Okay, when I talked about my cousin was in town, yeah, that's how we bonded, right? And we were just talking about, he was talking about how he just got his passport. I'm like, bro, there's certain places you and I need to go. So I guess, yeah, okay. Cooking wouldn't be on my list, but definitely traveling would be it. And I guess, yeah, we're just two different people. To her, what she thinks of someone bonding, it's a romantic relationship. She's thinking of someone who's waiting for her at home, someone she could cook with. For me, I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, fuck that. I come home, shut the fuck up. Everyone needs to shut the fuck up. I want my silence. I want my computer. I want my Doritos. I want my weed. It was, yeah. Oh, in other notes, yo, shut up. God damn it. Hold on a second. Sorry, I just pulled on my phone. I'm reading a book titled, because I'm talking about weed, right? And it goes, I Feel Love. And I thought, okay, hold on. The title goes, I Feel Love, MDMA and the Quest for Connection in a Fragile World, Rachel Hauer. And therapist recommended it to me. And I'm going for the audiobook, right? And it has me thinking about I probably haven't mentioned this before, or probably hinted it, but I used to do MDMA. I used to be on that shit. And yes, I remember first time trying MDMA and being like, wait a minute, hold on a second. You mean to fucking tell me I can feel love in a fucking pill? Man, fuck these hoes. By hoes, I mean, fuck companionship, fuck love. I can just swallow a pill and I can feel the love by myself. Anyway, that's not the point. My point is I'm reading a book about MDMA, and like the title says, and it just has me thinking about past recreational activities. So like I was saying, yeah, me, it's, I come home, especially on the weekend, spark some herbs, crumbling herbs, right? And shit like that. But I, yeah, I know. But when I think about companionship, yeah, no, I think of people being a pain in the ass. Again, love solitude. You know what? I this is the kind of conversation I would love to have with other singles. But I don't like talking to singles who, no, this single state is a temporary state. I hate being single. I don't want to talk to those single people. I mean, God bless you, you know, get your Tinder date, whatever, get on, whatever, do your thing and stuff. But I want to talk to people who don't treat being single like it's some kind of curse. It's my journey. Because I figured the way I see it, look, man, the same people who don't enjoy their single life are the same people who bitch about when they're in a relationship and all they do is bitch about their partner. So yeah, anyways, yo, shout out to her, man. It just made me think. What's funny is, I didn't think I was gonna talk about anything in final thought, because I mean, in news and random thoughts, because I really want to talk about what I have in final thoughts, and that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to end here. I'm just saying, I didn't think I was going to be able to elaborate. So this is what happens, man. I'll find a subject online, and it will spark a thought. And sometimes when I bring it on the podcast, I'll have two words to say, and sometimes I'm like, yada, 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 yada. But I'm going to stop here. All right? Okay. Shout out to my single people out there, all right, and making the best out of it. I was talking to a friend who was, I promise I'm leaving. I was thinking of a friend who, she lives in my building. This was like, I saw her at, what time was it? It was early in the morning. And it was probably 12. And she was all dressed up, not dressed up, but she looked like she was going somewhere. I'm like, oh, where are you going? She goes, oh, I'm going to see Bad Boys in theaters, cinema, by myself. And I love the fact that she was like, I need a date. I didn't ask if she was going. No, I got the impression that she was going by herself. But my point is usually what people think of, there are people who are scared to go to the movies by themselves. Like, you're free, right? I'm sure she didn't ask anyone to, hey, do you mind if I do this? Nah, I want to do this shit. I'm going to do it with her. I'm going to go to a theater where there's no fucking body around. Put my feet up and things like that. I love that freedom. And shout out to us who have that freedom to do that kind of stuff. All right? Okay. All right. Embrace your single life. Embrace that solitude. All right. Embrace loneliness. All right. That's it for news and random thoughts. We are now, we can now go to the final part, the final portion, the last act. And, but before I do, we go and do, I need to kick off these sounds. Yeah. Oh, part of the changes I've made is I've added some new, sounds to my, sound pad. And one of my favorite ones is going to be this one here. That's actually either I'm expressing objection or I'm like proud of a point that I made. All right. Final thought. Before I explain what's up with today's title, let me get back to my desk. Did I talk to tell you about my desk? Okay, here's what happened, right? Initially, when I was planning for this episode, two things is I remember that the title was going to be about the concept of being your own best friend, right? And second, it was supposed to be a surprise. Again, reference on the last episode. I ended and I talked about how I was supposed to have an interview this weekend. And that interview ended up having to be rescheduled. And it's not the interview that disappoints me, because the person who I'm interviewing was just being honest with me. Yes, it's a surprise. Was honest with me and said, look, man, go through a lot of things. If I show up to your place, I'm not going to be in the mood. Like, I'm going to rush it. Look, I've done interviews before with people who are like, their minds were elsewhere, who didn't feel relaxed, or even worse, gave me the impression they had better things to do. And it wasn't the boredom, it's just their mindset wasn't proper. So I detected that in that explanation, so I understood. It's okay, let's just reschedule. And I'm very grateful that they were upfront with me. And they had the capacity to recognize that within themselves. Like, look, man, a lot of shit's going on. I'm not in the right mindset. I might go Kramer on you. No, it's not a white person. But my point is, I understood. So the interview is rescheduled, all right? But what did disappoint me, though, is this was a comedian that I'm interviewing, and he's doing a show. But I'm fascinated. Part of the whole shit going on is because he's been touring all over Atlantic Canada, and he's like at the last stretch of his tour. Poor guy, he made Ottawa his last day of the tour. Anyway, yeah, this is me saying fuck out. I mean, I hate my own home city. I'm from Ottawa, but I'm not proud of it. I got mixed feelings about Ottawa. Okay, that's another podcast. All right. So yeah, I know. So he said what's beautiful, he was like, bro, you want to do some time? You want to do a spot? I love one of the most amazing things a comic can say to another comic is, you want to do a spot on my show? It's beautiful. You're always grateful. Now, at the time, I was convinced that I don't know if I want to get back into comedy. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think so. But there was something about the way he said, bro, you want to do a spot? The spiritual side in me was like, nope. You know when you said, Lord, give me a sign? There it is. That's the sign. I know how to jump onto an opportunity. And I remember there was a part of my brain that was like, there's no way I can say no to that request. So he offered me a spot. And I remember telling myself that worst case scenario, I got shit to talk about on the podcast. And or my therapist. But here's the thing. When you get a spot and you do a show, right, and the time before, it reminded me, like I was getting, I got to remind you, I haven't done comedy since COVID. So that's why it was a big deal for me to be given that opportunity. Now, okay, I'm giving you this long setup because this story ends with a disappointment. Because of time constraint, homeboy had to pull back off and say, bro, sorry, man. We short on time. Venue, there was a miscommunication between me and the venue on how long I had. So I have to, like, crunch things up. And unfortunately, being you're the last person I asked, I'm adding this, but being you're the last person I added to the, I have to take back. So long story short is I couldn't do the spot anymore. And at that time, the reason I'm sharing this, two reasons is because I was bummed out. In that moment when he was explaining it to me, because I can see that dude was, I could see the stress. Dude is his last show. He's putting it on. He's the manager. He's the producer. He's the actor, performer. He's doing all three things. And I've worked in show business. I've put on shows before, and I can sense when a person is like, dude, there's a lot on my mind right now, and I'm in an unfortunate situation that I don't want to be in, which is having to tell you that, hey, that spot I promised you, I have to take it back. So I understood all that. I understood. No, for me to do that, I understood that. So basically, I repressed all my feelings in that moment. What I'm doing now on that podcast is I'm making space for those that feeling of disappointment. I'm not mad at homeboy. I'm not mad at the homeboy because he was in an unfortunate situation. I am mad at the situation. But he's good people. It'd be different it'd be different if I was dealing with someone who's like done this before. Okay, you told me that last time. You know what I mean? But I do believe he was in an unfortunate situation, and so he had to pull back on that decision. But what I want to get at is, you guys don't understand, man. For me, it was like, in that moment, like I said, I was repressing those feelings, and now I'm acknowledging, man. You know how I would compare that feeling? It's like popping Viagra. I call it Viagra blue balls. It's kind of like I was supposed to go on a hot date. Wait, hold on a second. I just realized that I'm showing my age right now. I'm just saying, imagine. Viagra's a bad example. You know what? Fuck it. Speak your truth, bro. Be black. Hold on a second. 5316. I'm going to have to censor that shit. Yeah. Speak your truth, be black. I felt like I went on a date. And this was me and this chick convinced that, yo, I'm gonna put this pussy, what's the expression? I'm gonna lay this pussy down on you. Basically, we're gonna knock boots. I'm showing my age. Gonna have sex. That's my point. You know that date, right? And you did all kinds of preparation. And she says, yo, if I was you, I'd pop a pill. It's gonna be a long, I plan on going multiple rounds, not one. Multiple rounds. And then, you prepared yourself. You I was going to say Axe body wash. But, you know, you can prepare yourself, blah, you clean up your place. Because, you know, that's the sort of singles guys do, is clean up. We clean up our place because when we anticipate some pussy, we did all that preparation. All to have her call you and say, oh, man, look, man, my grandma's sick. I'm going to have to take a rain check on that date. And I'm like, hey. Really, I want to say, man, fuck your grandma. Get your ass here. But you're like, you know, trying to be an adult about it. It's like, I understand. I hope she's okay. Hope she gets better soon. Like, I mean, like, real soon. And then, you know, click. And then you remember, like, fuck. Wish I hadn't taken that pill. Wish I hadn't taken that boner pill. My point is, that level of disappointment. I was that disappointed. I hung out at the show, you know, just, I hung out the show, even though there was, you know, again, this is Ottawa. And, Ottawa crowd, not to blame always the crowd, but Ottawa crowd can be like, they can be great and they can be, let's just say this crowd was not like, if I were to give it a rating, it wouldn't be a 5-star rating on the audience. Okay. It's just because there's the audience, there's the venue, specific about the venue that it was in, and the fucking sound. I'm saying if you're the performer, you got to put in a lot of work. You got to, like, be Jesus here, walking on water type of shit. Like, a lot, that kind of work. You got to revive the dead here. Anyways, it was, the show wasn't that great. I'm sure for him, what counted was that it was over. Probably lessons learned is like, hey, yeah, if I perform in Ottawa, whatever. But I remember, to add insult to injuries, I made the mistake. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. So I have this thing that now when I go out, I drink brown liquor. And I forget that brown liquor is not fucking cheap. And I honestly wasn't trying to show off or anything like that. I'm like, oh, Hennessy VSOP? Never tried that before. Let me get a double shot of that shit. Yeah, of course, dude doesn't wear me because, you know, I guess he assumed that. He must be a baller. He must know what the fuck he's talking about. I'm grateful he wasn't, you know, he said, you sure? Because this shit is expensive. Because then I would have fucked him up for calling me broke. But let's just say double shot, all I heard was $35. I'm like, fuck, not again, B Black. This is not the first time I've done this. I ordered some top shelf liquor and forget that. It's the price tag. Anyways, I'm just, you know, I forget that I'm not a teen again. Top shelf liquor means a lot. Like, I need to memorize these prices. Anyway, so $35 and I'm sipping this liquor and I wasn't enjoying myself. I was not enjoying myself. Anyways, and it's over. Where am I going with this shit? Oh, yeah. So, honestly, it's the feeling I felt was, I've been asking myself whether it's, if this is worse than bombing. When I was preparing for the show, now let me just get positive about what happened. I went from negative, let me speak positive. The desk. When I was talking about my desk, what happened is, in preparation for this interview, I made a whole bunch of changes, positive changes to this room, that I'm very happy with. That I'm glittered. Like, this is like, I'm like holding on to, I'm grateful for how I set up this place. Because I had set up this place so if I have a guest, where he have a nice place to sit, and we can make eye contact. And I have my computer beside me, the soundboard out of my way. And it was just, I really love this design of my place. So, in a way, like, the one thing I gained from it, you know, as much as I'm disappointed from yesterday's the canceled interview, but the way this desk is set up, the way I set up my room, like, I'm ready. When we reschedule this meeting, I get the feeling it's gonna be a good interview, man. Cause the dude that I'm bringing on, he's like a deep thinker, and fascinated. He's got a fascinated mind, and I wanna pick his brains. Now, this is what I had written on my for Final Thought. I said, I honestly just want to talk about this canceled interview / set and being my own best friend. So now let's get back to what I was intentionally meant to talk about. The concept of being your own best friend. Okay, stop preaching. at my last therapy session, we had to talk about self-love. And this particular time, I found myself paying attention to it. But the now there's a lot of like in her explanation, like there was like a whiteboard and she wrote it, a whole bunch of details. But out of all those details that stuck the most with it, it's like part of self-love, I guess, yeah, I never understood the concept of self-love. But the one that stood by the most was being your own best friend. And I found myself lately asking, am I being my own best friend right now? I don't want to go to the gym. Am I being my own best friend right now? God, not that I go to the gym, but I don't want to. Okay, when he asked me, my friend, going back, you want to do this comedy show? And there was a part of me that was like, fuck that, man. Remember, we quit comedy. And there was another part I was like, nah, fuck that. Fuck off. You're going. You're fucking going. That was me being a good friend to me. This is all new to me, by the way. This is all, this is all a new concept. You know what's wild? So, okay, what's up with today's title? I forgot to mention that today's title comes from a song by Beyonce, the Queen Beyonce. Shout out to the Beehive, who might be listening to today's episode. And in her song "Me, Myself, and I," she's talking about a shitty relationship. She was dating some fucked up dude and realized that, fuck, man, the fuck was I thinking? The reason why I connect to this song is because I remember getting out of a relationship and it was so bad. It was bad enough that I ended up going into therapy for it. It was that fucked up. But not just it, but it opened my mind. Like, from those therapy sessions, I learned about red flags. I learned about my inner voice, how it was like the seed that was planted to learn about the concept of self-love. See, at the time, I was like blaming this person for being a shitty person. And then I learned later, I'm like, yeah, but you invited her. You brought her in your life. You told yourself, yo, this is the best I can do. I need to put up with this shit because it's the best. You're the one who accepted. You're the one who ignored your best friend saying, yo, fuck that bitch. I mean, my own best friend. Because my own best friend saw the signs. No, you know what? At the time, he didn't exist. If he did, I didn't listen to it. If there was a part of me that was like, yo, B, you deserve better, I couldn't hear it. I say all this shit because I remember. Oh, this is my brother as I'm going through, you know, my heart, after the relationship, the relationship ends, I'm going through a heartbreak and all that shit, right? And before I got to I'm Doing Just Fine phase by Boyz II Men, I was like, you know, loathing and self-pity. I'm like, what the fuck? How did it go wrong? Like, I saw us breaking up. Well, okay, she dumped me, but us being dumped as a loss. I'm like, but I did everything you wanted me to do. Anyways, I remember seeing it out of the loss. And, you're commiserating and to any ear that's willing to listen. It was my brother, actually. I'm actually surprised. Sometimes I think I made up this memory because he doesn't usually talk like that. But in that moment, he said the wisest thing I'm surprised that he even said. Like, I remember asking him about it. And I don't think I said that? Yeah. Sometimes I think I made it up, but I remember talking about it, because I was like, it's over for me. I'm not gonna get anyone else, or shit like that, right? And he was like, dude, I never liked that chick. But that's not the wisdom. The wisdom was him saying good riddance, followed by, dude, if I was you, I would learn to be your own friend. He goes, get you to like yourself more. That girl was more of a reflection of how much you didn't like yourself. He didn't use those words. I'm paraphrasing. The words he actually used was, get B to like B. Blew my mind out of everyone to say that, because he ain't the, like, he ain't the emotional death type person. Or maybe he is, but he rarely showed it. In that particular moment, he felt that he showed it. And I remember him saying that, and it stuck to me. Get B to like B. And now it's evolved to being your own best friend. I'm thinking a lot of the time of, yeah, I've been most of my life, I failed at being my own best friend. This is all new to me. I'm learning about it. When I'm listening to some person I don't want to listen to because I feel some kind of obligation out of nowhere, I'm not being my own best friend. When I'm working a job that I don't like, I'm not being my own best friend. I mean, or at least not making plans to get the fuck out of it, to leave it. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay, you know, it's like, I don't know what I can say. I guess I'm going to shorten it to I am learning. It's a continuous journey of being my own best friend. What I am an expert at, what I can preach about, is how to be your biggest enemy. Oh, I could talk to you about that. Fuck yes. Develop an addiction. It's when you make a mistake, beat the fuck out of yourself. Shame yourself. And the thing is, and this is an example of, if you have a sensitive child, yeah, don't beat them. Because those beatings for me, all they did was, those beatings that were meant to correct your actions, didn't communicate you did something wrong. No, what those beatings communicated to me was, you are wrong. And I say this because I feel this is why today I'm like, your own best friend. What the fuck? My buddy, wherever I go, he goes. Anyway, I guess long story short, if I'm going to tie it up with that message I shared in Final Thoughts about loneliness. I think for me, until I can figure out this whole being your best friend thing. Yeah, I ain't fucked that. I'd rather stay lonely. that actually is my issue. When I get into relationship, I tend to lose myself. I haven't figured out how to have a threesome with me and this person. Yeah. I think that's why I'm thinking about that message again about the woman was saying about loneliness. I think for her, maybe the reason why we diverge in our interpretation of or how to deal with loneliness, I guess I'm going to assume she has a more healthier relationship with herself. She's like that India Arie song, I'm ready for love. Especially when she says, I have a lot of love to give. When you can establish that's a big deal, at least for me. But for me, when it comes to loneliness, yeah, man, until I can repair the relationship I have with myself, fuck that. Because then I'll give it up for a big butt and a smile. Get it? All right, okay. Oh, wow, okay. I went out longer than I want. Okay, this I'm not going to turn this into a Baptist sermon. I'm going for Catholic style right now. All right, okay. All right, this concludes today's episode. As always, if you want to holler at me, please go to shutuppodcast.com or you can email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. But yeah, also at shutuppodcast.com, you can find the RSS feed that you could use to subscribe to this podcast. If, God forbid, your podcatcher can't find me. If you can't find me on your podcatcher, just use the RSS feed that's on the website. Yes, I do have a social media presence, but I'd rather you just go to the website. You'll find all that information about that shit. All right, okay, I'm delaying here. Okay, let me make sure I do this right. Okay, thank you for listening, as always, from the bottom of my heart. Hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed recording it. And please, as always, remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.